Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much for joining us today, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board. We always look forward to your dialogue and discussion, so let me remind you, lest I forget it. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your call gets directed through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain and respond to your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion about the issues that we're discussing each day. Let me remind you that as we discuss the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. You see, it's not a matter of my opinion or your opinion. It's a matter of what does the Bible say. How should we look at what is taking place in the world today? What vantage point, how should we analyze, scrutinize, look at, and respond to the calamity, the chaos, the confusion, the hysteria, the panic that's been unleashed around the globe and in a nation? How should we look at that? How should we respond to, what should we think about the future in relationship to this thing that is taking place called the pandemic? America after the coronavirus. America after the coronavirus. What will America look like? How will we be as a nation? Will there be any unalterable changes that will have taken place? Will America be the same after we get back to what would be called normal? Or is that possible? What will normal be? What will normal look like in American life, in society, in the political arena, in the religious arena, or Christian arena? Will we be the same? Will there be changes that will have been set in place that are unalterable, unchangeable, that will indelibly redirect the future of America? That's the question that we're dealing with today, and I believe it deserves great, serious thought from the Christian perspective. I believe that it demands our analysis and a response to it, because I believe we have been cast headlong into panic, and during this course of panic, I believe we are not seeing the unseen of the hands of the political pundits, the powerful movers and shakers in this world that's reshaping the world as we know it, reshaping America as we have known it, that will indelibly change your future and my future as citizens in the United States of America. We're going to talk about that today. Would love to hear your dialogue and your insights, your input, your questions or comments relative to that. I have more to say that could be said in about 6 hours that we need to do in this program today. So yet at the same time, we want to hear from you. We want to understand where you are, your thoughts and your positions on the subjects and the issue that we'll talk about today. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the Word of God. It is the truth book, as I have come to call it. It's not just a source of truth. It is the total truth from cover to cover, from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22. It is the book of truth. Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, talking about the Word of God, we look at it as the Bible today. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. The word indeed simply means surely, truly, absolute. So the way you identify a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is by asking the question, do you continue? Constantly stay in, dwell in the study of the word of God. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, The truth shall make you free. Jesus made that statement to his disciples in John 8:31-32. And then in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am truth. He goes on to further identify truth when he says in John 17:17, thy word is truth. So ladies and gentlemen, let me commend truth to you. Let me say to you that we need to understand what truth is. We need to identify truth. And lest we look at the issues in life through the prism of the Word of God, we'll never understand truth. It was George Orwell a number of years ago that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We see that taking place today. As I've said so often, if you don't believe that's taking place, just look at the Beltway in Washington, and you see the verifiability of that statement. But ladies and gentlemen, perhaps the better statement is found from the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. May I commend that to you, our listeners, today, that you seek the truth. We're not called on just to believe what the politicians say. We need to seek the truth. We need to listen to the truth. And some say that that's found on Fox News. I'm finding more and more that it's not. But that's just my most humble opinion. When you understand that Fox is now trying to mitigate anything that would be said against them as to being biased and one-sided, they recently fired one of their major anchors simply because she had the tenacity to say that the coronavirus is being focused on the undermining to tear down and destroy President Trump's reelection, and she was summarily fired for that. So we're losing even the last bastion of what would be called truth news. But we need to seek the truth and listen to the truth. Learn the truth. What is truth? Thy word is truth, Jesus says. We need to love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and ladies and gentlemen, defend the truth even to death, as Jan Hus said. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time also carries a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all your questions about power equipment, landscape and lawn care equipment for the homeowner as well as for the professional, and about the generation backup power for hurricane preparedness. They have a full line of those equipments that's needed for the future as we think on that hurricane season. But ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's right where the gigantic American flag is flying 24/7. Find the flag. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but I'll touch on this at the outset. Dr. Fauci, F-A-U-C-I, however you pronounce his name, Fauci, I believe it is. Dr. Fauci has come forward and he crushes the narrative that Trump had started saying. President Trump had said that we need to open the churches up by Easter. It was Dr. Fauci that counseled that, if you will, behind the scenes. What we've watched, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but Dr. Fauci and Dr. Brix, the two talking heads from the different backgrounds, and there are different positions of leadership in medicine down through the years and for infectious diseases. Dr. Fauci now carries the ball. Dr. Fauci is the one that behind the scenes basically is telling our president what he can do and he can't do, and the president has to listen because Dr. Fauci has become the darling out of all of the news anchors and the news media, and he's the one that will say one thing to one media and another thing to another media. He's the one that for 6 weeks said that the general citizens did not need to wear a mask, and now he's done a 100% about-face saying that that is needful. And we all knew that it was needful if you go out in the public to begin with, but they were doing that to counter the fact that our medical professionals needed masks and they were in short supply. But rather than telling us, they're in short supply, so let the medical professionals use them first, they lied to the public, saying that we did not need the mask. But it's Dr. Fauci and other proteges of his that are basically calling the shots today. Perhaps you say, well, that's good, that's needful, that's necessary, because they're the medical professionals and President Trump is not. But ladies and gentlemen, they're not the president. The president has the final call on what's going to be shut down, what's going to be opened up. But because they're prodding and pushing behind the scenes, President Donald J. Trump has had to acquiesce to the point now that we are looking at a total shutdown of America. But ladies and gentlemen, we've all heard the old saying, you can't put spilt milk back in a bottle. You ever heard that old saying? Maybe you're not old enough. You can't put spilt milk back in a bottle. This is true. And today we're watching America being poured out. And the question is, will America ever be the same again? Will America ever be the same again? Rush Limbaugh warns, and I quote, we're going to destroy America. Here's his massive article. I'll just read a paragraph or two. Rush Limbaugh warns, we're going to destroy America. He says, I have an overriding sense of foreboding. Due to the coronavirus pandemic, a substantial portion of our nation and economy has essentially been shut down. In many parts of the country, gatherings of 10 people or more are prohibited. All major events are canceled. Countless businesses have been forced to close, and tens of millions of American citizens have been ordered to remain in their homes for an indeterminate length of time, often under threat of arrest or fines or prosecution or both. Of course, while all of this is being done to mitigate the spread of COVID-19 and reduce the final death total of the infectious disease, it increasingly appears as though the cure, hear this, the cure could prove to be more damaging and deadly than the illness itself, particularly in the terms of the incalculable economic and psychological damage being wrought on our country today. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm prone to agree with that statement. Some will use the term, the cure is more deadly than the disease, and that's exactly what we see taking place to our economic picture. And by the way, and I'll touch on this later in the broadcast, while hundreds of millions are being laid off in America, in fact, one economist said that we'll probably wind up with about 32% to 35% unemployment before the shutdown is over. And as millions of people are being put out of work and businesses closed and businesses going to file bankruptcy as a result of that, as a result of even along with that taking place, ladies and gentlemen, we find across America today a major, major push. In fact, we find that the those bringing in aliens from other countries, and I have in my stacks of documents where they're bringing in some 85 to 100,000 on the HB2 and HB2-5 visas, those where you can, foreigners and Asians in particular, can pay a certain amount of money, agree to invest a certain amount of money in America and come into America with a green card in hand. And because in the stimulus package, the Nancy Pelosi and the AOC and the squad had their way with it, and there was tucked away in there the authorization to bring in hundreds of thousands of aliens into America to do jobs. And yet Americans are being put out of work. And I find that disingenuous to the American public for that to be taking place. And ladies and gentlemen, as it's taking place, nothing is being said publicly about it. Nothing is being addressed about it whatsoever in relationship to the danger that it will be permanently for the United States of America as it takes place. So Rush Limbaugh is saying, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to destroy America. Pat Buchanan asked the question, when it's all over, will we be the same America? When it's all over, will we be the same America? And I'm talking about today, America after the coronavirus. America after the coronavirus. Ladies and gentlemen, the battle is not just against the deadly virus. The battle, I believe, is for the soul of our nation. I believe it's the battle for the soul of America. I believe we're watching the demonic battle being orchestrated, carried out, and planned behind the scenes for the desired end result of the crushing of our constitutional republic and the representative form of government, and to bring about a total You might disagree, and that's fine. But to ultimately bring about a total different style, different form of government. And I call it socialism. And socialism is communism light. There's no way you can slice it and dice it any other fashion, any other way. The battle is for the soul of America. While I need to tuck this in before somebody gets a little rambunctious, I do realize, and I think we all realize, that we're dealing with a horrific virus, a deadly virus, a deadly malady. I believe we need to recognize that there are, at the same time, demonic forces at work to destroy America as we know it. And we're going to talk about that later in the broadcast, illustration after illustration of what movers and shakers and governmental authorities are saying today, openly talking about their taking advantage of this crisis, taking advantage of this virus, taking advantage of the shutdown of America to basically reshape, to reform, and to cause America to be totally different after the pandemic is over. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe there's an attempt to replace our republic with a different form of government. Our federal government, our state leaders across America, including the mayors, governors, and those in authority in every city, state, and county across America, are finding out that they can use unfettered power, and the people will absolutely bend and bow on that. You recall, and we talked about it the other day on the broadcast, you recall the information that we talked about with Daniel, the sixth chapter, where there was a law that was signed. King Darius had signed a law that says for 30 days, it's an impossibility for any person to bow and pray to any person or any god except for the king. And everybody did that. They had a special celebration. They had the false god image standing, and everybody was gathered, and they wanted them to bow and worship. And in this particular case, that was in Daniel 3, in this particular case, in Daniel 6, then the question is, who are you going to pray to? Are you going to obey God or government? And in that particular case, Daniel made the determination that he was going to still honor God. And you study the text in the 6th chapter, in the 10th verse, and it says, after the decree had been signed, Daniel went back to his room with his windows being open toward Jerusalem. He bowed and prayed, as he had historically done, 3 times a day. But ladies and gentlemen, when you look at the scripture and you look at what would be compared to today, the law was limited. It was just for 30 days. The law was limited just for 30 days. Now, do that as a comparison. We're told that this restriction of everything being shut down and the orders for every human being in America, unless it's an emergency, unless you need to go to banking, go to get gas for your car, go to pick up your prescriptions, you must stay in the house. That is the order by the government. That is the order by state governments and the federal government. So it's just limited. So the question is, just as in Daniel's day, it was just limited to a 30-day period of time. And everybody said, I'm sure, well, 30 days, we can tolerate 30 days. Why don't we just stay shut up in 30 days? Why don't we pray to the king for 30 days? Why don't we ignore God for 30 days? It's only disobeying God and obeying government. That's reverse of what it ought to be, ladies and gentlemen. Keep in mind today, we're told by the government officials and the mayors and the governors and the federal government that the churches ought to remain closed. The churches are not essential. Now, I'm thankful on the heels of that statement, ladies and gentlemen, that both our governor and the mayor have now acquiesced and said, and they've done so in their latest order, that churches are essential, that churches can open, and churches are required to practice good hygiene and try to keep the separation so that we can protect each other, et cetera, et cetera. But notwithstanding, ladies and gentlemen, the truth of what's found in the Word of God still is applicable today, where the law was signed and it was limited law. And ladies and gentlemen, when the king signed that law, it was legal. It was legal. And when these determinative decisions are made, and the governors and the mayors are making statements and decisions, they're making legal adjudicated decisions. They're making legal positions known of what you can and cannot do. The king signed it into law, that bill that was given in Daniel, the sixth chapter. There's no question he had the authority to do so. But what was the motive behind it? What was the motive behind it? That is the unseen thing. You cannot see the heart of an individual. But I believe there's a vast, vast array of those that are demonically inspired in America today that's the motive behind what's taking place. And that motive is to reshape and to recast, to redye, to remake America into the image that they want it to be. And that being a socialistic, communism-light, dictatorship-style governance in America. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we need to understand, as in Daniel's day, Daniel made a decision that he wasn't going to do it. Now, I'm not saying that you need to disobey government. I'm saying that from the standpoint of a child of God, for a Christian, we need to make a determination after seeking the truth, learning the truth, loving the truth, standing for the truth. We need to stand for the truth and understand what we ought to do. But ladies and gentlemen, as we watch the local mayors and across the nation, the governors with unfettered power, you see mayors and governors threatening to shut down, shut off power. Listen, to shut the power and the water and the gas, to shut it off on the buildings of those that they deem have disobeyed or refused to be obedient to what they believe that should be done and the orders that's given to them, to the people, and that they need to continue to do so. In fact, going back to Pat Buchanan's statement, when it's all over, will we be the same America? This is what Pat Buchanan said, dated April the 2nd. Depend upon it, sir. When a man knows he is to be hanged in a fortnight, it concentrates his mind wonderfully. Samuel Johnson said that. And as it is with men, so it is with nations. And Pat Buchanan further says, Dr. Anthony Fauci estimates that if we do nothing, Americans dead could be 2.2 million. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard me talk about it before, and I will not go into great depth at this juncture because of what we need to say on this broadcast. But 2.2 million is a fallacious, false, phony, unproven, undocumented, unreliable number. That was the data set that was put into the system that was then given to all of the talking heads and to all of the medical powers to be, that they use that as the talking point. They've discovered, they've determined, and some have had boldness enough to say that the basic data set that we started off with was not correct and was not proper. You heard back when early days of computers, garbage in, garbage out. If you put the wrong calculations in, the wrong calculations come out. And that is simply an unfactual number. That 2 million figure, Pat Buchanan goes ahead to say, that 2 million figure would be twice as many as many dead as have perished in all the wars from all of the American Revolution to the Civil War to World War I, World War II, Korean War, and the Vietnam War. Hear what he's saying. He's saying that number would be the all-encompassing number of all that's died in all the wars and going back to the American Revolution. And he then says, now add to this slaughter of our countrymen and market plunder plunge steeper than the 1929 crash and the 1930-style depression. Wall Street analysts are talking about the wipeout of 30% of the gross GDP and the unemployment reaching about 35%. Pat Buchanan further says what March 2020 produced and what is appears to pretend is a sea change in U.S. history and an inflection point, an event after which things never return to where they were. Will America fully bounce back after the pandemic? The coronavirus crisis seems to be one of those times, the epoch times and events that alter the character of a country and the course of the republic forever. Now, I believe he's exactly right. Because as we watch the mayors and the governors shut down and threaten to shut down power and gas, and in fact, in some cases, they've threatened to board up the doors of businesses and prevent them from running the business or having anything to do with it, and then to have all non-essential businesses are forced to bow to what the government says. Forced to, by the power of government, to be obedient. Ladies and gentlemen, who calculates what's essential and what's non-essential? I'm asking the question. Would you have Home Depot? Are they essential? Would Lowe's be essential? When mom and pop, hardware stores are not considered essential? When mom and pop, small business, is not considered essential? We're watching government make the determination for winners and losers is what I see. Hotels and motels are all closed across the nation. Multitudes of them will go into bankruptcy as a result of it. And just the last 2 weeks, ladies and gentlemen, we've had about 11 million people that have been forced out of work. Businesses closed, forced out of work, about 11 million so far. What I'm saying is, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching a tectonic change in America and the way America is, American life is cared for each and every day. For over 6 weeks, people were told, as I made the mention and alluded to earlier, over 6 weeks now, people were told that we do not need to wear a mask. And now there's a 100% flip-flop where Dr. Fauci and other talking heads are saying, yes, that it is appropriate. Maybe we need to wear masks because maybe that's needful. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a problem with our system when we have that taking place and we're not asking questions. Here's an article. Residents in Texas City can face fines of $1,000 for not wearing some form of covering over their nose and their mouth after new motion. Here's the article. Under a motion passed by the city council in Laredo, Texas earlier this week, residents in town can now face a fine of up to $1,000 for not wearing some form of covering on their nose and their mouth in the midst of the coronavirus outbreak. According to the Laredo Morning Times, council members passed the motion in a vote earlier this week. As part of the measure, all residents over the age of 5 years old are required to have their nose and their mouth covered when entering public buildings, using public transportation, and when pumping gas. The body said, that's talking about the council, the body said in the notice detailing the motion, which went into effect Thursday, those who violate the order could face fines up to $1,000 or confinement in jail for a period not exceeding 180 days, the notice stated. Ladies and gentlemen, that's police state. Ladies and gentlemen, that's normal in China. That's normal in North Korea. That's normal in Venezuela. That's normal actions by police state and the dictatorial government in Cuba. That's normal in multitudes of places where Jesus Christ has never been, where the gospel has never been preached, where there's, where you do not have Christian values and Christian principles, where you do not have the Bible as the absolute guiding point. Those are normal things to take place, but it is not normal, should not be viewed as normal in America. That ought not be anything that will be cast upon the citizens in the United States of America at all. But we're finding it with the police state authority and the police power that's being wielded without it being, without ever declaring martial law. We're watching police power take place. And I'm concerned, ladies and gentlemen, from a Christian standpoint, from a biblicist standpoint, we need to be concerned and ask the question, after this is all over, what will be the residuum of these laws and rules and regulations that will still be enforced and will still be carried out? What will be the end result? How will we live after the pandemic is over? How will America stand? What will America look like? What will the landscape be like politically, socially, economically, and spiritually? How will we stand as a nation? That's what I'm wanting us to ask and answer in this broadcast today. And I call for your input on it. I want to know where you stand. Do you think what we see taking place is just temporal, that it will be gone after the pandemic is over? Do you believe that it will be temporary and that everything will go back to normal after this is over? Do you think Nancy Pelosi will go back to the same? Do you think the loose, lax, lost liberals in Washington will go back to the same? Do you think that the socialist, Marxist, Democrats will go back to the same order of business as we've seen them in the past, or will it be greatly exacerbated and changed? Ladies and gentlemen, churches have been ordered to close for Easter. Now, I'm thankful that in a few states, including Florida, Ohio, and I don't know, there's one or two others that the governors have said that churches can remain open but take caution and care. Ladies and gentlemen, I am concerned when, as one writer put it, Easter without going to church. The question is, will churches be open for Easter? I'm thankful that our mayor and our governor in the state of Florida have said yes. Churches can open for Easter. Churches can open as we speak as a result of the new executive orders that have been given. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to come back right after the top of the hour news. Don't turn your dial. Hang in there. We'll be back to complete our stated broadcast today, thinking about America after the coronavirus.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.